Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the postgame podcast. The Timberwolves lost the league worst Houston Rockets on Monday night, and it wasn't great. We have to talk about how bad the perimeter defense was. We have to talk about how disjointed the offense was, how disappointing parts of Anthony Edwards' performance were after such a dominating performance on Saturday. There's a lot of things went wrong on Monday. We're going to break it all down here as best I can on the show today. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's a not so happy, not victory Tuesday after the Wolves lost the league worst Houston Rockets on Monday. We're going to break down the game. What happened? There's a lot of bad things that happened. We're going to do all that here on the show today. First of all, though, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Download the Locked On Sports Minnesota app today, and you can watch this show as well as all the other great Locked On Minnesota shows. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K. EN. All right, so Timberwolves had, you know, won a couple in a row, feeling pretty good about themselves. Anthony Edwards drops 44 on Saturday, a couple of poster dunks. What was it, 8 threes, I think, on Saturday? Goes nuts. The Timberwolves end up winning only by 9 against the Houston Rockets. But hey, a win is a win. Ant got his posters. Everybody was happy. Target Center was hopping. And Marty Gellner and I said on the post game, on the postcast on Saturday Night Live following the game, and then I also talked about it pretty extensively on Monday's episode of Locked On Wolves. Hey, you know, outside of Ant's 44, like, there wasn't a lot of good on Saturday. Yeah, Nate Knight was good off the bench. He had 19 points in, you know, 25 minutes or whatever. Great to see him play well. D'Angelo Russell had some timely shot making or shot makes as well. But like, as a team, nobody else scored more than 7 points. The defense was spotty. It was really more taking advantage of Houston's sloppiness. They're number one in the league in turnover rate. And by that, I mean, they're 30th. They commit the most turnovers. So the Wolves really just took advantage of that. And even early in the game, they didn't. Right on, this is back on Saturday. The transition offense was bad. Like, it took them a while to like really figure it out. And it's because of Ant's 44 really that they won on Saturday. And I said this much on Monday. I talked about how tough this matchup was for Minnesota. It shouldn't be tough. Don't get me wrong. But it's tough because it's a Houston team that crashes the glass. They're the league's best offensive rebounding team. They just chuck the ball at the basket and just go get it. It's almost identical. This is like the third time I brought up the 8U team that I coach in like the last couple weeks on the show. So here we go. It's basically what we tell them, like, not actually, because like, I want good habits, right? But like, don't be afraid to shoot the ball and get your shot blocked. Don't be afraid to shoot the ball and miss, because first of all, we obviously can't score if we, that's literally how the Rockets play. We can't score if we don't shoot the ball. Second of all, if you throw the ball up off the rim or off the backboard, there's a loose ball. We got a pretty good chance of getting it and getting an open look or a putback, right? That's what you teach 8U players, to just like get the ball up on the rim and get an opportunity to score. That's kind of how the Rockets play offense. I don't know. Tell me I'm right. Like, that's how they play offense. That doesn't work well for the Wolves, because the Wolves cannot grab a defensive rebound to save their lives, and they're completely disjointed. They don't box out or communicate or any of that stuff. And then when they do get a board, they're not able to turn defense into offense fast enough in a lot of cases. For as fast a pace as they try and play, they're very unsuccessful when it comes to transition opportunities. And they really didn't even get out into transition much in this game. The Rockets are a bad matchup for the Wolves because of their activity level, their youth, their athleticism, and their willingness and ability to offensive rebound. That's why the Rockets are a bad matchup. And the Wolves had already beaten them 3 times to get in, like, Marnie said this on the postcast tonight or Monday night. It's hard to beat a team 4 times. I get that. I mean, but like, the Wolves beat the Thunder 4 times last year. The Wolves, you know, like, this is a team you should beat 4 times. You should beat them 19 times out of 20 or 9 times out of 10 or whatever. But I think it's important to point out that the matchup is bad for Minnesota for those reasons. Now, all that said, The Minnesota Timberwolves still allowed 50% shooting to the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets shot 50% from the field in this game. Coming into the game, the Houston Rockets were the league's worst team in terms of straight field goal percentage, shooting 44.7% from the field. The Wolves were, you know, hovering around middle of the pack defense like they have all year. They allowed the league's worst team to shoot 50% from the field. They allowed them to shoot 37% from three, which, you know, for the season, they're also their 29th, 33% from three, so well above their average there. They do get to the line a lot. The Wolves still allowed them to get to the line more than their average, and they shot, you know, actually worse than their average. But the Wolves enabled the Rockets offense, if you want to even call it that, to get really what they wanted, which was the opportunity to go in isolation, to get some driving lanes, to throw the ball at the hoop, to go up and get some rebounds. And let me be clear, the first quarter was horrific in terms of rebounding for the Wolves. The rest of the game actually wasn't nearly as bad. The Wolves ended up only a -6 on the glass. But they were out-rebounded in the first quarter alone 16-4. 16-4 in the first quarter. And they were only down 5 at the end of the first because D'Lo and Ant each got hot a little bit offensively at the end of the first frame to make it just a 5-point game. But it was double digits for a while in the first quarter. And the rebounding, that was the tone for the game. Houston got out to, I think it was a 9-0 or 10-0 lead to start the game. 16-4 rebounding in the first quarter. The tone was set. Houston was going to be active. The Wolves were not. And like, again, I said it on Monday show. This is a problem. The Wolves know it's a problem. Chris Finch knows it's a problem. The players have to know it's a problem. Why can't anyone grab a rebound? On Saturday, it was Anthony Edwards and I believe, I don't remember. There were two guys with 7 rebounds on Saturday. It was one of them. They led the team in rebounding. Rudy Gobert played on Monday. He grabbed 16, which was nice. We'll talk more about Rudy later. Nobody else had more than 6 rebounds on the Timberwolves, and that was Austin Rivers off the bench. Besides him, nobody else had more than 4 rebounds. D'Lo and Anthony Edwards were number 1 and number 2 in minutes played for the Wolves in this game. They each had 3 rebounds. Kyle Anderson was in foul trouble, grabbed 0 rebounds in 12 minutes. Naz Reid only played 9 minutes because Rudy played a lot in this game. Naz only had 1 board in 9 minutes. Nate Knight only had 4 in 16. If go on down the list, like really nobody rebounded their position well in this game at all. Except for, you could say, Austin Rivers, 6 boards in 27 minutes. He's the only one. Nobody else rebounded the ball well. That's a big issue. It's not the only issue. Turnovers. Timberwolves committed 19 turnovers. Yeah, the Rockets committed one more, but it's the Rockets. They lead the league in turnovers. Second youngest team in the league. They're super sloppy with the ball, but the Wolves nearly exactly matched them in this game. 19 turnovers. Ant had 6, 5 of them in the third quarter. Jalen Noel had also a miserable stretch, mostly in the third quarter, third, early, fourth quarter. 3 turnovers for him in just 19 minutes. D'Lo had 4 turnovers on the night. It's the same issues we've talked about all season long for this team. Defensive rebounding, second chance points for the opponent, defending without fouling, turning the ball over. Transition both offense and defense was maybe a little less obvious in this game because some of the other issues were so bad. All those same issues continue to be issues. And I want to talk about the offense actually next, because the other thing we've talked about a lot this year is the sticky ball in offense, or what Chris Finch has called in the past take turn offense, which has maybe been a little bit less of an issue with no Rudy Gobert and no Karl Anthony Towns, because it really is only D'Lo and Ant that are hunting their own shot, and it's fine because those are the guys that have to score, right? That wasn't as big of a concern for me in this game. It ended up being that, but I can't fault those two guys necessarily for this take turn offense. And so I'll explain what I mean by that here in a minute. So I want to dive into Ant's game, D'Lo's game, the offensive issues, and then I'm going to go in on those defensive issues because, man, the Wolves defense in the second half of this game was as bad as we've seen it in a while. I mean, I guess there was that really bad one, actually, I don't know, a week ago. Man, maybe we haven't seen it this bad in a week, but it was really bad in this game. The perimeter defense, the interior defense, like all the way around, it was bad. So I want to talk about a couple of specific instances here in just a moment. So we're going to do that here next. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our presenting sponsors at FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. We are super excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Upcoming NFL championship weekend, that's going to be a ton of fun. Saturday, Sunday, you could argue whether divisional round or championship round is the better weekend, but like this should be good football this weekend. I haven't looked at the lines yet on FanDuel, but I'm going to, and I'm going to get in on that. Also basketball, like what's the line of the Wolves Pelicans game Wednesday? I mean, who knows? The Pelicans are playing at home Tuesday night, back to back. The Wolves are coming off a bad loss. Pelicans have been playing poorly lately. Four losses coming into play Tuesday. I have no idea. Probably Pelicans by what? 3 on Wednesday night, 3.5. I don't know. Anyway, check that out at FanDuel. It's all in an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use, so football fans don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's talk first about the Timberwolves offense. And Marty and I did this a little on the postcast Monday night. You can listen to that. It's actually the episode before this if you're listening to the audio feed. If you're on YouTube, hop over to Locked On Sports Minnesota. You can watch the postcast from Marty and I that we recorded after the game. But the Wolves offense in this game was so stagnant. Like there was no flow at all at any point in this game to the Timberwolves offense. And yeah, I know like they scored 114. Shot the ball well from outside the arc, but I'll see if I can articulate this better than I think I did on the postcast with Barney, but like D'Lo and Ant both shot the ball well from deep, right? D'Lo was 6 of 12, Ant was 6 of 10. Like you combine your two best offensive players combined to go 12 for 22, like you take that 10 times out of 10, right? However, that was the Wolves offense. That was it. I mean, there was no other motion or flow to it, no rhythm, no rhyme or reason. It became, let's see how many threes D'Lo and Ant can make. And to their credit, they made a bunch of them and it kept the Wolves in this game. But the rest of the team combined to make 4 threes in this game. The rest of the team was like 4 of 20. The rest of the team was 4 of 20 from the field, which is, man, I'm doing a lot of math here on the fly. 20% from the field. So 4 of 20, 20% from the field for anyone, 20% from beyond the arc. For anyone not named D'Angelo Russell or Anthony Edwards, Ant and D'Lo combined to go 12 of 22, which is really, really good. But like this was a lot of this was desperation, end of the game, down by 2-3 possessions with a couple minutes to play or less. And it was what kept the Wolves afloat throughout. But there was nothing. There were 2 lobs from D'Lo to Rudy, kind of third quarter-ish, that were nice. That's kind of it. Like there was nothing else. Jalen Noel was bad offensively. Austin Rivers had a couple nice drives, but that's the only way he scores is spot up catch and shoot threes, or it's isolation drives to the hoop. There was no flow, no consistency. Ant wasn't getting shots in the rhythm of the offense. D'Lo was forcing, both of them were forcing mid range shots at a couple points of the game. Rudy was not consistently involved in pick and roll game other than those 2 lobs. No flow, none at all. Not enough transition opportunities, not enough transition points. And the offense just devolved into like, well, let's see if we can make these threes. And again, to the credit, they did 114 points, 45% for the floor for the Wolves. Fine. You know, you can win a game that way. If you could stop somebody, the Wolves could not stop anybody in this game. I haven't talked about Jalen Green yet. I mean, Jalen Green scored 42 points, like shot the ball well, played really well late in this game. He was so bad on Saturday though. So bad on Saturday. Really good in this game. The Wolves' perimeter defense was also horrific, and both things are true. It's not always the case. Sometimes it's just really good offense or really bad defense. This was both. And the worst moments in this game for me were third quarter when Anthony Edwards could not contain Eric Gordon. This is 30, what is he? He's only 34. I thought he was older than that. I think I said 36 on the postcast. 34-year-old Eric Gordon, who, you know, still a nice player. Could probably be traded to a playoff team. He should not be able to take Anthony Edwards off the dribble. It was just Saturday on the postcast I was talking about, or actually Monday's show, The last show I did, I talked about Anthony Edwards on Saturday, looked like an all-defensive player on the ball. And he has the tools to do that. And if he plays like that, more often than not, he could be all-defensive third team still this season. That's how good he could be on the ball and how good he was Saturday. He let on consecutive possessions that I believe threw out of four possessions in the third quarter. 34-year-old Eric Gordon, take him off the dribble to the cup. It's just straight isolation. I don't even think there were screens. Like, just straight up off the dribble, like, just right past a blow-by. That can't happen. That cannot happen. Nobody on the all-defensive team allows that to happen. Like, you get beat every once in a while by a good player, and you compete. Those possessions were not competitive possessions from Anthony Edwards, and those are the possessions that the Wolves cannot have, and Anthony Edwards cannot have if he wants to be taken seriously. If this Wolves team wants to be taken seriously, you just can't let Eric Gordon beat you off the dribble in the year of our Lord 2023. It just can't happen. Jalen Green, to his credit, played well. 42 on 25 shots, 6 of 12 from outside the arc. And Ant was on him for chunks of this game, too, actually, for more of it than he was on Gordon. I mean, he got lit up there. D'Lo was bad defensively. That's a little less unusual, but he was bad defensively as well. The perimeter defense was really bad. And honestly, so was the interior defense. And at some point, like, if guys are coming downhill all game, you're going to lose points in the paint because your perimeter contain is so terrible. So I don't fully fault Rudy Gobert for the Rockets winning the points of the paint battle in this game. I don't fully fault the Wolves bigs for that. But there were some bad Rudy possessions defensively too. And I know he had four blocks. I know he grabbed 16 defensive boards. I know there were pros here to the game for Rudy. I'm not denying that. And he's also coming back after missing a few games. Like, I get all that. But he had a couple of bad possessions where he just was a little bit out of position, a little bit late on rotations, hands down instead of up, like pretty basic stuff that we know Rudy Gobert knows what to do, right? That's the other thing with Ant, is he didn't just get beat straight up off the dribble. There were a couple where he was just sucked in, like, just out of position. And his guy was like, you know, the ball swung over and he was two steps away instead of a half step away, right? That happened frequently in this game. Like, just, this is the, if I, like, I don't know, game 50 or wherever we're about to be, what are we? We're 49 games in this game, 49. If I had to boil all the issues down into one, it's some like combination of the words unseriousness and sloppiness. Like, it's not always that they don't play hard. Like, it's been that a couple of times, maybe more often than it should be, but not as much lately. It's not simply effort. It's the type of effort. Like, most guys can put forth effort to try and go score a bucket or lock down in a key moment in a game. Like, nobody's just never trying, right? It's more about seriousness and playing with a sense of clean urgency, right? They need to watch how sloppy they've been and how unserious they've been. And this is a perfect example, this game was, because I don't think the Wolves didn't try to win. I don't think they didn't try. Yeah, you know, it felt like they were trying, but there's this level of, like, you know, they just don't. I don't know, like, and it's contagious, right? It's not only Ant or D'Lo, it's not only the younger players, it's also Kyle Anderson. In this game, Kyle Anderson was the one doing the things that we get frustrated with the other guys for, the younger guys, getting into it with, you know, getting a technical for getting into it with Jalen Green early in the game. And then getting himself taken out of the game, foul trouble, ends up with five fouls in 12 minutes. Like, that stuff, that can't happen. Austin Rivers has had those problems in that game in Oklahoma City when he had all those travels and the technical, and he had that stretch where there was that going on with him. Like, the referee thing, the complaining thing, like, that all feeds into it a little bit. It's sloppy. It's free points for the other team. There were a couple examples of that in this game. Kyle Anderson and Rudy Gobert had one. Again, veteran player, like, we can't be just blaming Ant for this stuff, right? He's not the only one. And a lack of, you know, tightness on the defensive glass, 50-50 balls, active hands, things they did pretty well on Saturday at times, at least active hands they did. But by and large have been problems, consistent threads throughout the season where they just lack in these areas and it piles up and it leads to these losses to bad teams. Detroit twice, the Spurs, the Rockets, teams missing good players. It's the same reason why if this team does lock in and isn't super sloppy, they can be good teams. And we've seen that. It's that what Fitch said a week ago. So scary as a coach. I'm paraphrasing now. But this is a team that could beat anybody on any given night and lose to anybody on any given night. And that's scary as a coach. That's what Chris Fitch said a week ago. And now we get on the other side of this here. Some tough games at New Orleans Wednesday, a couple against Sacramento. Winning teams with winning records. Can we see the flip side of this? Now we've seen them lose to anybody. They lost to the Houston Rockets on Monday night. It was bad. Can they flip that? What does that look like? You know, can the other side of that come to fruition now against the Pelicans, the Kings, Memphis, the other teams that are upcoming on the schedule that are really good teams? Can the Wolves show up in those games? I think they probably will. Just like I thought they would have trouble on Monday. That's kind of team play. Another way to say that, playing to the competition, right? That's what we're seeing here. Okay. Next, I want to talk individual studs and duds. We're going to close out the show with that. All right, individual studs and duds from Wolves Rockets. Man, I don't know. It's tough in a game like this where the numbers look so good. And if you didn't watch the game and you're listening to this podcast, you're looking at the box score going like, how are Ant and D'Lo not studs in this game? They're the only guys that scored. Well, they combined for 10 turnovers. Neither of them played good defense. Like, I don't know. What do I do with this? Same thing with Rudy, 15 and 16, bad defense, really bad defense. I don't know. No starters like really deserve this. It makes this tough. It paints myself into a corner when I have to pick three studs and a dud, right? Well, we'll start with an easy one. I thought arguably the best players on the floor in this game were Nate Knight and Austin Rivers. The box scores aren't going to stand out. Well, we'll start with Rivers because his looks nice in the box score. 10, 6, and 3 off the bench in 27 minutes. He was the primary beneficiary of no Kyle Anderson for much of the game because of the foul trouble. Rivers had 10 points on 4 of 8, 1 of 4 outside the arc, 1 of 2 at the line, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, no turnovers for Rivers. And he was a plus 5 in 27 minutes, which was the second best mark of any Timberwolves player. I thought Rivers played well. I thought he was active, one of the few Wolves perimeter defenders that was relatively active defensively. The 6 rebounds were, believe it or not, second on the Timberwolves team in this game. 6 rebounds for Austin Rivers. I thought he played well and was arguably the Wolves' best player all around in this game. Nate Knight, 4 points, 4 rebounds, doesn't jump off the page, but in 16 minutes, he was actually active defensively. Thought he was pretty solid. Active offensively was his typical, as I mentioned the other day, I think Monday, and certainly Marnie mentioned this on the postcast a lot. He plays loud minutes. You never wonder whether or not Nate Knight played in a game because he leaves having done something. And he was active in this game, was, again, one of only 4 Wolves players with a positive plus minus, with a plus 4. I thought he played well. That's it. I can't do more than 2 studs. If I had to do a third, I'd say D'Angelo Russell, because that hot streak early in the game kept the Wolves in it and actually gave them a brief lead, and they were tied at halftime because of D'Lo. The defense was bad, but it was less actively bad, I thought, than Anthony Edwards. And he also was less sloppy with the ball. 7 assists to 4 turnovers, while Ant had 5 assists to 6 turnovers. And D'Lo, the shot making was really good. 6 of 12 outside the arc, 11 of 23 shooting. I thought the selection was okay. Some mid-range jumpers in there that weren't great, but he was far from the only guy doing that in this game for the Wolves. Duds, I'm going to go Kyle Anderson. I mean, man, we talked like 3 days ago about having the best stretch of his career, arguably, and here he is, 2 points in 12 minutes, 5 fouls, a silly technical, a silly feud against an inferior, you know, young, talented player in Jalen Green, who ended up having a great game, but just a silly feud to get into, and it hurt his team. I mean, Kyle Anderson would have made a big difference if he'd been on the floor and playing like Kyle Anderson. I said this on the postcast with Marnie. He's the straw that stirs the drink for this Wolves offense. With no Jordan McLaughlin and with no Karl-Anthony Towns, like, you're relying on Kyle Anderson. I know D'Lo is technically the point guard and Ant initiates offense, but Kyle Anderson's the guy who can literally slow things down in more ways than one and really kind of make things hum. And he got himself in foul trouble, hurt his team with the technical, wasn't on the floor for a lot of this game. I'm also going to say Jaden McDaniels. 10 points, 4 rebounds in 35 minutes. Dude's like 6'9". He's got to get more than 4 boards, and I'm going to keep talking about this until it happens. It's an issue. Also fouled out. I mean, he played 35 minutes, but he also fouled out, shot just 4 of 11 from the field, a couple of bad mid-range jumpers that he took, just bad shot selection, 1 of 6 outside the arc. I'm afraid we're going to get a little regression for McDaniels. He came into this game shooting 40% from 3, 39.9%. I hope he's better. I hope he's a better shooter than he was last season. I think he's more like he was his rookie year when he was 36, 37%, but I don't think he's a 40% three-point shooter. So this could be the beginning of a bit of a regression for McDaniels. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that's certainly possible. Ant fits somewhere in the middle because the offense was great at times, real sloppy at other times, and the defense was atrocious. So, like, I don't know. He's part of the reason they were still in this game, but he's not a stud. He's not a dud. He's in there somewhere in the middle. All right. Wednesday's show, we're going to talk Wolves-Pelicans. The Wolves haven't seen the Pelicans since between Christmas and New Year's, that one-point loss at New Orleans. Wolves are back in New Orleans for another Wednesday night. The Pelicans have lost 4 straight, I think, and they actually host the Nuggets on Tuesday. So they'll be on the second night of a back-to-back, although both games at home for the Pels. But Wolves-Pelicans Wednesday, we'll preview that game on Wednesday, talk about anything else, any other fallout from this horrific loss on Monday to the Rockets. And then you get Memphis on Friday night back at Target Center, a couple Sacramento games, consecutive games at Target Center. It's a tough stretch of the schedule for Minnesota, and would have been real nice to be going into the stretch a game above 500 instead of a game below 500. But alas, 24 and 25, hovering around the play-in in the West. Difficult stretch of the schedule upcoming. All right. A big thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, you can listen on any platform that you like to listen to. You can also watch on YouTube. You can watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now, make your second listen the game-to-game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.